A few weeks ago, about a month ago, we had a sesshin here, and we looked at how the concept of compassion has cropped up in some of the Buddhist sutras, both the early sutras and the later Mahayana sutras. So I was primed, I guess, for this subject of compassion. When I had a nice conversation, an inspiring conversation with our friend Oi Phan about his experience in San Jose going to the Kashitigarbha Festival. Kashitigarbha, we know that bodhisattva as Jizo, and he's standing out right at the end of the walkway there as you come to the Zen Center with carrying a staff. He's wearing a red bib. Oi was saying that this festival is so big that the Vietnamese Buddhist community has to rent the fairgrounds in San Jose, and it's a two-day festival. And Oi, you know, we know him because he cooks with us on Fridays when we take lunch to the homeless garden in the River Street shelter. But so Oi's quite a cook. He said he helped cook 10,000 meals a day for all the people that were at the Jizo Festival. He says they roll Mother's Day, Jizo Festival, and Hungry Ghost Festival all into one. But it's mainly Jizo. There's the Kashitigarbha Bodhisattva Fundamental Vow Sutra that they chant for both days. It's a couple of hundred pages long. I think it probably just takes a few hours to chant, but they do it throughout, and lots of food, Dharma talks, and it sounds like quite a time. It was actually occurring right at our last sesshin. One of the Vietnamese priests that we've gotten to know over in San Jose invited us over to help celebrate, maybe a little smaller celebration at one of the smaller Vietnamese temples, but we had to decline that invitation because we were sitting here and we were studying compassion. Jizo Bodhisattva, his great vow is to enter all the realms of existence, all the six realms, but especially the hell realm, and be present for people in the hell realm and help save them from suffering. Generally in Buddhism, this idea of compassion is equal, is not different, is just the same as wisdom. And in Zen, we kind of get a bad rap, as we talked about in the sesshin in August. In Zen, we talk a lot about wisdom, we think a lot about wisdom. We think, what is it? It's usually emptiness. And we perhaps talk less about compassion than some of the other Buddhist traditions. But I contend that we don't act less compassionate. I think we're a pretty compassionate bunch. But this idea of emptiness, or this idea of we are empty of inherent existence because we are fully connected to all of the causes and conditions of the whole universe. We co-arise with all the causes and conditions of the whole universe, moment after moment. So we're intimately connected. And the expression of that intimate connection in these human bodies, with these human minds, is compassion. And, you know, our connecting organ, our organ that expresses this wisdom of the universe, this intimacy with all the universe, is our hearts. So when we express this wisdom that we try to understand and think and talk so much about, when we're actually doing it, it comes out as a big heart, as our innate humanness, with our big heart. So Bodhisattva Kshitigarbha, or Jizo in Japanese, earth womb, earth embryo, earth storehouse, is Kshitigarbha. Is one of the bodhisattvas who teaches us about making connections, understanding our intimacy with all beings. And we look to his example, to his vow, to go where there is suffering, to enact wisdom and compassion in our lives as humans, as students of Buddhism. On the staff that Jizo uses, there's six rings, six metal rings. You'll see them out there. And as the Bodhisattva wanders around the universe, saving all beings, he's with each step pounding the staff, and those six rings clang. The six rings represent the six realms that we might all find ourselves in. Does everybody know what those six realms are? You know, the three lower realms, the hell realm, the animal realm, the hungry ghost realm. You know, hungry ghosts are the ones, are the parts of us that we kind of hide away. We don't like to show the light of day. We're a little embarrassed about that part of our lives. So they're hungry for food, hungry for attention. And, you know, I probably spend part of my day every day in that hungry ghost realm. You know, the animal realm where we're, you know, it's just about, you know, it's sort of the Freudian sex and aggression realm with some hunger for food in there. There's not much but those desires in the animal realm. The hell realm goes without saying. We all know what the hell realm is. In the Kshitigarbha Bodhisattva Sutra of his fundamental vow, he goes into a lot of detail about the hell realm. It's kind of like Dante's hell. There's many levels of hell, different kinds of hell. One of them is called the endless hell, and that's for people who cause trouble in the Sangha, who might cause a little discord, you know, who complain that, you know, somebody, that person got an extra cookie at lunch, and now we're out of cookies. That person is greedy over there. So the person who's causing a little trouble here ends up in the endless hell realm. So those are the three lower realms. And then there's the human realm, which, you know, is our usual home. It's one of the three upper realms. There's the fighting titans realm. I think the fighting titans are, you know, the CEOs. And wherever, you know, wherever you're a CEO, whatever life you have, you know, you must be in some sort of CEO realm where you're just duking it out for power and gain. And then there's the heavenly realm where things are going pretty well. It is sometimes said that you can't be rescued from the heavenly realm because things are going so well that you're not even aware of your suffering. But I think even there, you might get a little glimpse that maybe you're languishing here a little too long and you need to come down to earth a little bit. So I think people even need rescuing in the heavenly realm. But Jizo goes from realm to realm, clanging his staff, scaring away demons, maybe scaring away weasels, little animals that might get in his way. Actually, he scares away little animals so he doesn't step on them as well, not even little weasels that might bite and cause suffering, but scaring away small animals so he doesn't cause them to suffer. And he's taken this vow to go wherever there's suffering, to stick it out and help wherever he can, help in skillful ways so that the person who's suffering might be liberated. Here's a little bit of his sutra. This sutra was, of course, preached by Shakyamuni Buddha, extolling the virtues of Jizo Bodhisattva to myriad beings in myriad Buddha worlds. Like a lot of the Mahayana sutras, there's a real cosmic tone to it. You know, students of Buddhism from different realms, different earthly realms, different planetary realms, are all there learning from the Buddha. He says that Kashikigarbha took this vow of going to all the realms and saving all beings, no matter what their suffering, many eons ago. And we've heard this one before. If every grain of sand in the Ganges River represented another complete Ganges River, and each one of those grains of sand in all of those myriad Ganges rivers were a kalpa, this huge, vast expanse of time, eons. That's when Kashikigarbha first took this vow. And he vowed to continue this practice until Maitreya Buddha is seated. Maitreya Buddha will be the next Buddha in the next Buddha realm, the next Buddha period after Shakyamuni. So Shakyamuni is, of course, going strong. He's not really near retirement, but Maitreya Buddha, who was one of Buddha's young students, is sitting in deep meditation in Tushita heaven, waiting for Shakyamuni Buddha's retirement. So this vow is a long vow, committed vow. Shakyamuni Buddha continued speaking, "If you find persons who chant the Kashikigarbha Sutra, or who have even one thought of praise of the sutra, or showing respect to Kashikigarbha, pray, persuade them by all means to persevere unremittingly in such work, never looking back. Tell them they will achieve inconceivable merits in the present and in the future. If sentient beings in the future should see visions of devils, spirits, or other forms crying, sighing, or frightening them, these devils or these spirits, they are their families in previous lifetimes. All are in evil realms from which they are unable to emerge and are begging for benevolent acts to be done on their behalf in order they may be relieved of their suffering. Please tell those who have frightening visions to chant this sutra before images of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and if they cannot do this themselves, they ask someone to act for them for 3 or 7 times. When the deceased relatives have heard this sutra for a few times, these deceased ones will find relief and be led to salvation. Therefore, the living ones will not again dream of the deceased relatives. If inhabitants of the Jambudvipa, That's this realm. In future times shall, at the advent of newly born children, cause the parents to chant this sutra. And Kashiti Garba's name 10,000 times, then this newly born child, whether male or female, will achieve expiation of sins of their previous lives and will live long and happy lives. If all those about to be born into this life have done meritorious deeds in their previous lives, then their current life will be even longer and happier. So, we talked a little bit about this kind of devotional practice at the retreat sesshin that we just did. All of our ceremonies that we do here require us to open-heartedly, turn and face the Buddha in gassho. So even the services and ceremonies that we're kind of used to is a devotional practice. We might not do such practices very much here in Santa Cruz Zen Center or in the Zen world, but Buddhists all over the world do such practices, and I think we're asked, when we think about, we might not pray to Jizo on a regular basis, but when we identify somebody in the hell realm, or when we're in a hell realm, we might ask ourselves, can I put on the robe and carry the staff right now of Jizo Bodhisattva and fearlessly enter that hell realm, whether it's my own hell or whether it's the hell of somebody that I feel compassion towards? Can I put on that robe and carry the staff, and can I just open-heartedly stay there and be with that person, be with myself? Can I be interested enough to and skillful enough to liberate myself or liberate that other person? There's this person at work now. I'm going to confess that now that I've done this study about Jizo, I'm not being a very good Jizo Bodhisattva. One of the social workers that I've known for 20 years is being canned, is being fired from the county. He's been showing up intoxicated for work, and over the years he's worked very closely with the county on his recovery, and the county has been very compassionate in helping him with his disease of addiction, and he's been a skillful social worker for close to the 20 years that I've been there, but apparently he's kind of reached the end of the line in that regard. And so we all know that this is happening, and unfortunately he's coming to work to finish up paperwork. And so he comes and gets charts from the chart room and goes back and forth between the chart room and his office. We don't see him very much these days, but he comes every few days and he's there a couple of hours, and he's good-spirited, he says hello like he always does, but I know he's suffering, and it's a little awkward. And I've not said anything. I don't think I have gone into his hell realm with him very effectively, other than just trying to be a nice guy. But, you know, nothing special. And this is what Jizo has, you know, Jizo shows us that you go there. You fearlessly go into those awkward situations and just see if you can be skillful. I mean, I'm inspired now to give it a go, but I haven't done that. But this is what and you know, my hell realm might be the awkwardness. You know, I might say, okay, here we go. You know, I might say a few prayers to Jizo Bodhisattva to help me kind of get over this awkwardness. But you know, that's where Jizo is pointing us to go, and just be there. Reb Anderson said once about sitting in Tassajara when it's so hot in the summer, and we've got all of our robes on, and we might not want to sit. He said, you know, just feeling maybe a little breeze, you know, on the sweat of our upper lip, you know, that's the sign that Buddha is, that you're there with Buddhas. And so, you know, even if I don't save this guy from all the hell that he might be going through, you know, maybe just, you know, doing a little bit more, you know, really, really, really being in his hell realm can be that, you know, just that breeze for just a little bit that could give him just a little bit of relief from suffering. So I'm grateful for the study of Jizo Bodhisattva that might help me take those next steps with that staff, with that red rakasu. Oi wanted me to really stress that that Jizo is associated with departed relatives. I learned a lot about Jizo from Taigen Layton in his book here that I've recommended a lot, Bodhisattva Archetypes. In its latest printing, it's got a different title, but it's still around. You just have to look a little harder. Even Taigen says, yes, Jizo is about our lives and our family. So Jizo is near at hand. Jizo is not an ideal that you might hope for someday. Jizo is easily brought up. I mean, I think, you know, like, I kind of know what I need to do with my friend at work. I don't have to think very hard. You know, I just have to I just have to make some connection, the connection that we've had for such a long time. I don't have to search so hard. It's really near at hand. So I think that's what Oi wants me to know, is that this is about family. Oi specifically is chanting this sutra of Jizo's fundamental vow for his departed father, and he wanted me to know that, you know, my father was a good man. I don't know if he's in the hell realm, but even my father didn't know about his past lives, and just in case he's in the hell realm, this is an important thing to do. Jizo isn't just trying to pluck out Oi's father. If Oi's father isn't in a hell realm, when Oi's father hears Oi chanting the sutra, actually all the people in the hell realm with Oi's father are also liberated then too. Taigen says that this isn't, even just about going to the hell realm, but it's about, doing virtuous deeds, right here in the realm that we're in, so that when people are out of the hell realm, they'll be in this virtuous realm that we've created by our compassionate deeds. And of course, as we've heard in the sutra, that just chanting the sutra, vowing to go to the hell realms whenever we identify it, creates a virtuous realm right where we are. This idea that looking at all beings, as our relative, Taigen identifies as a common Asian outlook on life. He stresses that in other Buddhist schools, this idea of reincarnation is stressed a lot more than we talk about it in Zen schools. But the idea is that everyone we see now, could be a reincarnation of our relatives, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. And so we treat them with the same kind of love and compassion that we have for other family. So this is part of our Jizo practice, is to realize this connectedness, and maybe even familial connectedness. In the sort of broader Zen terms, as I said earlier, we see ourselves as co-arising with all beings right now, right in this moment, with this breath, and co-arising anew in the next breath, in the next moment, with all beings, all dependent on the causes and conditions that started out even before Jizo took that vow. So in that sense, all of the sentient beings and all the causes and conditions are our family, supporting us, mothering us, parenting us right now with every breath in every moment. So that's how, if we're not really practicing or thinking so much about reincarnation, this is how we might look at all other beings, they're at least supporting us in the way that we're supporting all other beings as we co-arise together, dependent on each other and all other causes and conditions. Maybe I can When Jizo first took this vow those many eons ago, he was the daughter of a woman who ate animal flesh and didn't kind of made fun of people that had a spiritual connection. And this daughter worried that that her mother was in a hell realm. Her name was Bright Eyes. And so Jizo, even though he had many reincarnations, and his practice included, as I've said, going to all realms and helping suffering in whatever realm a person is in. Jizo has had special connection with mothers and children. There's a ceremony done for people who have lost children to death, to illness, to cancer, or miscarriages or abortions. This is an old ceremony. Catherine did the ceremony here several times. Every couple of years, she would do the ceremony. It includes sewing rakusus, like you've seen out there, little red rakusus that we put on Jizo statues, and actually all the other statues, and even hang them in the trees. Lost children get Dharma names, and they're accompanied in whatever realm they are in by Jizo. Jizo, though, takes many forms, like Avalokiteshvara does in saving all beings. He's frequently depicted as this kind of youthful-looking, childlike monk, so that he's immediately friendly with children. Since Catherine's death, I think we've done it here again. Kathy and Nanette did one about a year ago.
Yeah.
And so it continued on that tradition. In other schools, Jizo has connections to, kind of like Qigong, you do different movements, to move the qi in different areas. So if you've got back pain, you might do one movement. If you've got headaches, you might do another movement. Jizo is associated with earaches and stomach problems. So there's lots of ways that Jizo has been looked on to help save other beings. His special skill, which is inspiring to me, is that willingness to go in the hell realm, the the daughter Bright Eyes went down into the hell realm and chanted so that her mother could hear Buddha's name. And so that persistence, that hard work, that fearlessness is something that is specific and special to Jizo. So this is where I can wrap it up, and maybe we can talk about areas that, you know, that we need a little more fearlessness in. We can think about our own travels from realm to realm throughout the day, and how we might ask Jizo to accompany us from one transition to the other, and free us from our suffering in whatever realm we're in. We might think about our own devotional practices. I've always thought that, you know, even though we don't do quite as many devotional practices, it's a real human thing to just think about, you know, I want to be with someone who's a little more fearless than I am to help me along this path. And can I call this bodhisattva up in my life? You know, just to feel like I've got someone a little more fearless than I am with me. So we might think of how we think of devotional practices if we do them. Thank you. Kathy?
Well, as you're describing Jizo, I'm thinking that one of the things that feels helpful is that he is on a path, and that he walks on a path. And as you were describing your desire to be more fearless in going through your discomfort in connecting and approaching your coworker, you know, I think sometimes when we have those fears, it's helpful just to know that just take one step. You know, what's one step that could be done?
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like if Jizo is on a path taking steps, then maybe that's something we could use to remind us that it doesn't have to be the huge 100-mile journey. But, you know, what's one step, you know, that I could do?
Yeah. No, and that brings up, you know, a lot of issues. Like, you know, Jizo is near at hand. So, you know, yes, we can think about, you know, just that one step. And what brings us back into awareness throughout the day? That's another aspect, I think, of your question, or my dilemma, my awkwardness. How can I be aware and compassionate? And, you know, what do I use in other situations to get back in, or that path of practice? How can I bring myself from unconscious suffering to the liberation of the path of practice in whatever I'm doing throughout the day, whether it's difficulty at work, whether it's ease at work, whether, you know, whether I'm at home with friends? How can I stay close to that path of practice? And so that brings up our Jizo practice, brings up all of those questions. Thank you. Steve.
Venerable Patrick, maybe it's a difficult topic. I think you can explain it well. I'm just sort of leaning lightly towards this idea of Tibetan, they call them the Pujis. And I'm going to be requesting protection for traveling. I've never really, that's a very rich part of the Tibetan tradition, but I never went too much in that direction other than observe them. Myself actually participating in and requesting them. So I feel a shift in my continuum. But one thing you, I can see there's such a line of similarities when you mentioned the kalpas and the mass amount of time. In Tibetan we call remembering the kindness of the mother. I mean, if we call it rebirth there, the continuum of consciousness, no beginning, no really end, just manifesting in form. And therefore, billions of these kalpas, in different forms, animal, human, all, then everything, every living thing at one time must have been our mother, kind to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what we saw with us is the repaying and kindness, mm-hmm. great compassion, but realizing that, yes, some are gray, some are maybe in these realms, like you mentioned, bright eyes. I really appreciated your talk. And I'm going to be traveling soon, so I am going to be requesting about the funding. I didn't know that. They do a protection for travelers once a week, so mm-hmm. my name on that list.
Well, Jizo is certainly our bodhisattva of travelers. And, you know, there are so many practices. We have so many opportunities that we can, you know... We're karmically connected to, we all came to the Zen Center for many, many different ways, for many, many different reasons, because of our own specific karma that has shaped us over the many eons of time. And, there are the Tibetan practices which, you know, connect with so many people, and actually, I think Peter was telling me about that they had the Kashiki Garba Festival at Land of Medicine Buddha a few weeks ago, right? That you went to. So other traditions are practicing with Jizo, and we've had our own particular practice of connecting with the. Our lost children through Jizo. So we just have to stay aware of what connects us to our heart, what keeps us on this path of compassion, this path of wisdom, how can we stay alert to our vow to liberate all beings, to really go where we need to go to offer that cool breeze to whoever needs it. Thank you. Yes, Chris.
And going towards someone who's maybe often seems that there's some blame, perhaps, and I don't know how to work with that. I avoid getting at somebody else to blame. So sometimes it stops me from stepping in to hear, because usually it's somebody who's upset about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, guess I'm trying to walk that path of not to disregard their concern, but to not have it be somebody's fault that they're upset so much.
Yeah. And you know what the first thing that just came up as you spoke was Oi's practice, who wanted to assure me that his father was a good-hearted guy, and Oi himself, you know, thinks of his father, and great compassion, you know, comes up. But he was willing to think about, you know, maybe in a past life my father wasn't so virtuous, and I want to help this suffering that I don't even know about, but is willing to go there. And when I heard the word blame, and I immediately thought of, you know, how can I, you know, go see this coworker and not make it feel like I'm blaming him. And maybe the way to do, and I don't know if that was your question, to, or blaming, were you talking about blaming yourself for not being...
To go to somebody's home, usually it's like they're thinking it's somebody's fault that they're in hell.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, or just to be present with their...
But my first thought is, you know, I've got close to two decades of nothing but good feelings about my coworker, and even though I kind of, you know, I know what's going on with him now, that's not been part of our relationship. So I can go with him, you know, with just our 20 years of a good relationship, and I know it's still going to be awkward, but if I can remember that, that should cut through any of the awkwardness, and I can just be with him the way I've, you know, been, like we've been with each other for all this time. So hopefully, you know, he won't be blaming himself. Hopefully I'll quit blaming myself for my cowardice, and we can just meet there the way Jizo might practice. Thank you. Charlie?
Yeah, your description of the six realms was new to me. I thought your examples were particularly good, so thank you for that. But it seems as though we're moving through the realms towards more compassion and less greed, and yet between the human realm and the Titans realm, it seems like we took a step backwards. So, do you have any comments on that?
Help me understand that a little bit more.
Is that you're going from the human realm to the Titans realm?
Yeah.
It seemed like we are moving towards greed and instead of away from it. So, is there something about why that's in the wrong order?
It's considered in the upper realms, the three upper realms, rather than the three lower realms. You know, just because you know, you can also, you know, as one of those fighting titans, spend a lot of time on your yacht. You know, so not suffer so much. But when you read the stock report and it looks like your stock is falling and you're worried about losing that yacht, you're ready to fight, and that's when your suffering is. And you know, I've got this administrator at work who is a strong practitioner in one of the Tibetan schools, and does lots of volunteer work at the Tara Home Hospice House that the Land of Medicine Buddha runs. She's got a deep practice, but she's an administrator, and when she goes to work, she has to duke it out all day.
She's
in that Titan realm that isn't always. Always so easy for her, and she finds herself suffering, and that's my example. Actually, let's talk more out in for tea, and because I've gone over. Thank you all very much. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them.